Thank you for coming. I'm going to talk about our new website that we're releasing today. First of all, I don't have any conflicts of interest. The website that I'll show you is a .org website that was funded by the California Endowment, and so I don't make any money off you going to our website or anything like that. Our website, Grolin.org, is ranking chain restaurant menus, and we'll go through how we got there. I'd first like to thank Leslie Wu, a computer scientist across the street from us that was at Stanford, and Tim Matheson, our dietitian, that helped us with some of the foods, as well as Lauren Mosenthal, who in the Bay Area we call hackers, and finally Emma Lawler, who helped with the design of the website. So right now, the problems that I see in restaurants is that mostly restaurants compete on price and taste. So their main competitive mode is to get consumers in by saying they offer the most amount of food at the lowest price with the greatest amount of taste. And that's basically what the restaurant marketplace is competing on. Now, my question has been, what if restaurants competed on health? And that health was a factor in that competition to bring consumers into the restaurant. Now, there are some restaurants that are trying to compete on health. You know, for instance, we have the American Heart Association has certified some Subway meals as healthy. And you can see throughout the restaurant industry, there are starting to be some competition on health with restaurants like Chipotle and, you know, even McDonald's saying they have a healthier children's menu. The problem with the current environment for this competition is that it's all based on what restaurants are saying and deals that they make and press releases. And there's no objective way to compare the healthiness of these restaurant menus and what they are promoting to the public as the healthy meal. And even when they do promote some of a healthy item or you know, three healthy items or whatever it may be, as we've seen in some of these restaurant certification programs, it can be in a menu that has 100 items on it where three are healthy. And you can imagine a consumer going into an environment like that, it's very hard to navigate through all the unhealthy promotions and come out with a meal that offers them something healthy. So I came up with this idea to some degree when I was living in L.A. In Los Angeles, we have these public health inspection stickers that are great things for sanitary conditions. So this restaurant got an A. I've been to one restaurant where I wasn't happy with their sanitary conditions, and their A got revoked for a little bit while the public health community went in and made sure they cleaned up. So we have A for sanitary. You can see there's Zagat rated, which, you know, is around service and food and taste and all that sort of thing. So, you know, my question is, could we have a health rating on these restaurants as well? And again, we're focused on the entire restaurant and not just a specific food item. So part of my inspiration for how to go about doing this has come from Yale Rudd Center method. So they released a report a couple of years ago, Fast Food Facts, and they actually combed through some of the top chains, about five or so, and looked at what they were serving in terms of the children's menu. And the method they used was really good, but really labor-intensive. So it involves this Oxford criteria, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but a dietitian basically combing through each menu and analyzing each offering on the menu. And to do five restaurants, it took them, I think, a whole year almost to comb through these in the fashion. So as I mentioned, the method they use is called the Oxford criteria. Now, there's a little debate in the nutrition community. Do you use a food-based scale to analyze healthiness, or do you analyze a nutrient-based scale? And so the Oxford criteria developed in Oxford in the UK takes a bit of both. And so there's some criteria for nutrients in terms of fat, sodium, sugar, and energy per 100 grams. And then there's also a food content. And I say food in quotes because some of this is not really food, but fiber and protein are still food components. But also keenly takes into account the percent weight from fruits, nuts, and vegetables. So the amount of the food that is fruits, nuts, or vegetables, which we know is the primary focus that people should be eating. You know, all the nutrients are nice to try to analyze how much processing there is in a food, but fruits, nuts, and vegetables are really important. And so we used the Rudd Center's modification of the Oxford criteria, where basically healthy score for entrees, they have to get the score of 64 out of 100. And then, you know, for the Oxford, didn't have to worry about the huge portion sizes that much, so they also have to get less than 700 calories for an entree. And there's variations based on whether it's a side item or beverages and things like that. And we're working on our website to get those algorithms all updated so that they there's different algorithms for beverages and kids' meals and all these sorts of things. But this is the basic algorithm. So the problem that we had is, how do we get all this information on 43,000 food items? And what we were trying to do is look at the top chains in the country. And if you look at the top 200 restaurant chains by sales, there ends up being about 150 real restaurants in that group, you know, if you exclude hotels and things like that. And so we couldn't do the Rudd Center's method of going through 43,000 food items with a dietitian, because it would take us a couple of years. And the second question, you know, related to that was, how do we analyze the fruit, nut, and vegetable content of this many foods? So I partnered with a computer scientist, and we used some algorithms to do that. And, you know, you can see the differences in some of the presentations of earlier, going in with a dietitian and analyzing individual food items from a local point of view. We were trying to do this on a macro level. How can we get the maximum number of foods analyzed in the quickest fashion? So there's plus and minuses of both, but this is our general algorithm on how we went through our system. And I don't have time to go through all the details of this. We hope to publish a paper on that soon. But briefly, basically, we got our items from MenuStat, which is a New York City Department of Public Health website, where they compiled a bunch of information on all these chain restaurants funded by a grant from Department of Health and Human Services. So we were able to take all their information and all the information they had and basically separate things into two groups. One was foods that had the portion size and all the nutrient data. And then there's a lot of restaurants that just don't provide enough data for analysis. They don't provide us even a serving size for what their entree is. And so we simply cannot analyze that. We don't know how big it is. We can't analyze it. So then we did a bunch of things using a couple of different methods. Basically, we were trying to figure out the fruit, nut, and vegetable component. And for some of that, we used a method called crowdsourcing, which is popular in the computer science world, where basically we send things out to untrained professionals to try to estimate things. And based on the results that we get back of how much their agreement there is between the different non-professionals and what the scores are like, we can use computer science methods to try to figure out, okay, which one of those are we pretty confident that the crowd can rate, and which food items do we need to send on to the dietitian? So we quickly were able to sort through which ones we need to send to the dietitian, of which we did send some. And so everything goes through our algorithm, and then we basically get for each restaurant the sum of the healthy items for that restaurant, and then all the unhealthy and unscored items. And what we produce at the end of that is what we call our ghrelin grade. Now, ghrelin, for those of you may know who in the nutrition world, is the hunger hormone. It's spelled a little differently, and that's because when you make a website, you have to spell things wrong to get the website domain and to get people attracted to it. So if people just search for ghrelin, you know, that's some pharmaceutical company owns that website. So, but even Google, you know, they originally launched their website spelling it wrong. So spelling things wrong is how things work. Sorry to the English teachers out there. So a ghrelin grade is basically a number that's percent of the items that are menu that are healthy divided by the total number of menu items. So the limitations of our method, and there are definitely limitations here. So first of all, we're limited to restaurants that MenuStat was able to collect data on. So again, we didn't go to individual restaurants like some of these local programs. We were trying to take a macro level approach. So we're limited to those restaurants, about 150 chains, but you can imagine these are, you know, the world's biggest chain restaurants. And so we have a good sample. As I mentioned previously, many restaurants do not provide enough data to compute the NPI score. So that's a limitation. And part of what we're saying in our website here is that restaurants need to produce more data. They need to send us more data and give more information to the consumers about how many fruits, vegetables, and nuts are in each entree. And crowd estimates, we use some crowd estimates in there, which may be skeptical for people who are in, you know, the dietetics world who spent a lot of training to try to figure out how to do this. And I agree. I'm married to a dietitian, and we shouldn't fire all of them. You know, dietitians aren't perfect either, and they're a bit more expensive than the crowd. So I want to introduce you to Grillon.org beta. We are still working on, you know, continually updating this. I will ask that while I go through the next few slides, I'm going to try to show you a little demo, is that if you can stay off of your cell phones and look at the screen, because you'll saturate the internet availability in this room, but then you'll have plenty of time to play later. So this is our website, GrillonGrade. It's grillon.org or grillongrade.org. And basically you can see it's eating a bit healthier when eating out. And you can select a restaurant. Over here you can select a category. So let's say you want to go out for pizza. You can click on that, and it'll show you the results for pizza. And you can also just do a search for an item. And basically, as I said, this works. The healthier the restaurant, the higher the number. So 100 is the best you can get. 0 is the worst. And then you'll see dashes on some restaurants, or on those restaurants that don't provide enough data. So everyone wants to know what restaurants seem to rank the healthiest. So before I show you this slide, I will tell you that, like I advise med students when they're applying to med school, it's hard to tell the difference between number one and number two. They're both pretty good med schools, okay? The same with this. When you look at the rankings, you should look sort of in general which ones are about the top. There's not a huge difference between one that ranks 57 versus 58. Sort of see which ones are in the top, which ones are in the middle, which ones are at the bottom, and which ones don't give us any data or enough data. And by enough data, they had to provide at least enough data on two-thirds of their menu. So here's our initial rankings going forward. So you can see the ones that are towards the top, Au Bon Pain, Rubio's, Subway, all had greater than 50% of the items that met the healthy mark. And then Brugger's Bagels, Panera Bread, and Cozy were also up there. But still only around 50% of items that are healthy. And this is all items, okay? So this isn't just entrees. This is beverages, sides, and so forth. So, and then we have a bunch of restaurants in the middle. And if I have time, I'll show you how the bottom looks. But basically, then you click on a restaurant, and you see the categories. Now, so for instance, you'll see burgers here is 100. So Au Bon Pain has one thing classified as a burger in their menu, and that did meet our ethical criteria. So that category for this restaurant will get 100, one out of one. And you can see the scores for the different. The salads got 100, and then basically you can click on the category. And so back here, you can see sandwiches is 56. I clicked on 56. And you can see which sandwiches in there get a healthy rating. And I didn't show all these. There's many below that's unhealthy. And then when you click on the actual item, it will give you a marker about whether it's healthy or unhealthy. And it also gives you the run score. And some of you may have seen recently in the research, a popular way to make people understand calories is to understand how many hours you have to run that entree off. It's a little bit easier than understanding how many calories you need a day. And so, for instance, this chicken pomodoro sandwich has a run score of 3.4 hours, meaning you have to run for 3.5 hours to get rid of it. Now, obviously, you need some energy for, you know, just, you know, sitting around all day. But this basically allows you to compare entrees relative to each other. And then if you're on your mobile device, when you click this little find location, it'll actually open into Google Maps, and you can find out where the location is near you. So we also have a page here for tips. Basically, the first one is try to eat home as much as possible. But then some other tips about eating out, and we have a social feed, and there's information how we constructed the data, and ways to contact us and follow us on Twitter and such. So I'm not going to have enough time for a full demo here, but that's okay. You can all look on your cell phones now. Really, the future, what we're trying to do is look for health departments who want to use our numbers. So what we basically do have now, we have a product that health departments can use instead of trying to formulate their own numbers and go in and do a lot of time-intensive work. A health department could adopt our Ghrelin grade, and we're looking for health departments that we can work with to put our numbers on restaurants and help promote healthier restaurants in the community. We're looking for non-chain restaurants, and this is going to be a little bit tougher, but restaurants, for instance, in California, there's lots of healthier chains that are too small to get into the database, but we'd love to have their numbers into our system. And we're looking for more funding to be able to do all these things and get more restaurants in our system. And if anyone has any ideas on that, let me know. So thank you very much, and I'm happy to take any questions along with the rest of the panel.